You asked for it, we brought it. This week on Red Dead Radio, we talk Red Ned Nederson.
That's it. That's perfect. That's the intro. That's the pickup right there.
Hi, friends. Welcome to Red Dead Radio, the Red Dead Redemption podcast. I'm your host, Jared Petty. And as always, we're going straight to the Wild Wild Guest.
We're going straight to the Wild Wild Guest. We're going straight to the Wild Wild Guest. Yeah!
Is that where Cisco does his thing?
That is right there. Cisco has already done that.
I know. He was there. Ours was the first one that he did that on. It was so cool. Thanks a bunch, Cisco.
Yeah, Cisco's the best. I can't wait for Cisco to be on the show.
Oh, what? Yes. Someday I'll be here for that.
Can't wait for that to happen. But yeah, John Ryan.
Hi again.
Yep, he's back. Why? Because he is our resident Red expert.
Not Red expert?
Red expert.
Red Dexpert.
Anyway, this guy knows more about Red Dead Redemption than just about anybody, and he's here right now to talk about Red Dead Redemption 2 News Blowout Part 2, because we had so much to cover in that episode that we didn't get through all of it.
We did not talk about nearly everything that happened in that demo, what that I'd done there now and saw.
And therefore, we are going to jump right into that. Austin Riley, Jonathan, William Holbert, thank you so much for being our Patreon producers this much. We couldn't do it without you.
Way to go.
Thanks a lot again, guys. Austin Riley, Jonathan, and William Holbert. Thanks a lot. And now it's time for Shootout, the Red Dead News of the Week.
Should I do that? Should I do that all the time?
Or guns?
I'm not going to do that now. No finger guns.
You know, actually, speaking of Red Dead News of the Week, they just dropped collector's editions.
Yeah, we actually did have some real news this week.
We did. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah, and it's for me, especially because I work on all of our wiki stuff, as you may know, if you definitely do.
Yes.
It was really exciting, actually, because not only was it, you know, the pre-order bonuses and the collector's editions and the collector's boxes and whatever, but hidden within those, not really hidden, but like within those drops was actually a lot of gameplay details.
There were. It's
super neat.
They have to give you the names of things. They have to talk a little bit about mechanics. Like, I tell you what the features
are. I really like how, like, it really only ever happens with Rockstar games. Like, sometimes you'll see it with, like, other super mysterious properties, like From Software or maybe Bethesda once in a great, great while.
Mm-hmm.
But with Rockstar especially, it's just like, hey, here's the name of a town. And all of a sudden it's just like speculation. and so having said that, speculation. Ooh boy, the things I'm speculating.
All right. I can't wait to hear it. This is what I think of as video game archaeology. Like, you get this tiny little piece.
Yeah, but it's like reverse because we're waiting for it.
You're trying to extrapolate it. Out. Well, that's how archaeology works. I studied a little bit of that in college, and you have this tiny little piece.
Why does that not surprise me?
Yeah, I'm so excited about Odyssey coming out. Yeah. Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which there was
a whole
leak
other podcast.
A leak about recent, but Greek studies, that's somewhat I did in college. Anyway,
the list of stuff that you didn't study in college is actually shorter than the list of stuff you did.
I don't do math very well.
Hey, me neither.
All right. Liberal arts education, kids. Get you a job in games journalism. But I digress. So you have this little item, and you take it, and then you extrapolate out from that what you think everything around it was. You use it as a basis for context. Looking at the Red Dead ad, let's start hearing your speculation.
Okay, so I think the biggest takeaway that, like, the cool thing was that there's a bunch of stuff that we can extrapolate from, but there's also some, like, definite hard points. So, like, we know that there are going to be specific stats that you can get boosts on. So if you can get boosts on stuff, so one of the items was in the special edition.
Yeah.
So the special edition is the one that has all the story mode bonuses. The ultimate edition has all the online bonuses.
Okay. Let's draw that distinction very carefully. So special edition includes what?
The special edition comes with, you know, a couple of bonus missions. So one's like a bank robbery. The other's like a gang hideout.
Okay.
It comes with the horse that you get for the general pre-order, the war horse. It also comes with a second horse. I forget the name of it. It's something
thoroughbred.
Which is, so the war horse is, because we talked a little bit, I think, last week, or we talked in depth last week. It was kind of a blur.
Okay.
We talked about how your horse is sort of like another companion to your character.
Yeah.
And in that case, like, they all have their own sort of unique strengths and attributes, and you sort of have to build your bond with them. And the better your bond with them is, the more effective they'll be either in combat or out in their field. And so the nice thing about the special edition is that with the special edition, you get two horses instead of just the one for the regular pre-order. Now, the war horse, which is what comes with the regular one, that's the one that you would get, or I should say that was the one that you got in the original Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah.
which actually ended up being a little bit OP and entirely the best horse in the game, hands down, except for like the Undead Nightmares, apocalyptic horses.
Right, yeah.
But so the War Horse here, it has improved stamina and it has better courage.
Courage, eh?
So stamina, obviously, it'll probably be able to run faster, or not faster, but for a longer period of time, maybe a little bit faster. But the courage thing is what's going to be really important, like when you get into gunfights or when there are things that, like in the demo that we saw, like a bear kind of lumbered out of the woods, and we saw the guy who was running our demo, like actively had to kind of control the horse and be like, oh, no, it's okay. Like, let's go over this way instead.
Keep from getting thrown.
Right. Whereas if you had a brand new, like freshly lassoed mare from the wild, odds are it would either throw you or you could hold on, but it would just run the other direction.
Yeah. Which, to be fair, when one meets a bear and one is a horse, that's a sensible response.
I mean, it's a sensible response if you're a person, too.
I disagree, actually. Bears are faster than people.
Fair. Are you a play dead person or are you a climb a tree? Because climb a tree is a false hope. They can climb trees and very well.
No, the one time in my life I ever encountered a bear in the wild, I walked around the corner of a cabin. He was standing about 8 feet away.
Don't do that. And don't be that close to bears.
I didn't know he was there. He didn't know I was there. I stopped moving and he looked at me. He was like, sup.
And did he immediately go back to the dumpster trash he was eating?
Just sauntered by. It's just like...
It must be so good to be a bear.
It must be. It's good life.
Just right, like I have to imagine. Anyways, we digress to talk about the life of bears.
Exactly.
So the war horse's courage is increased based on what you would normally find with a random, like, standard horse.
Okay.
The thoroughbred, I believe it said that... I don't have it right in front of me, but their acceleration is up and their top speed is higher.
Okay.
So essentially, like, if you have to break it down, like, you're going to have the war horse, which is for, gunfights and shootouts. And then the thoroughbred you want to use, like, if you're racing. Now, I don't think they've confirmed horse races in any capacity, but I'm pretty certain that they're going to be there.
Yeah, I was playing Red Dead 1 not too long ago, and there Bonnie and I are racing around the ranch, like, Marston.
I can sort of assume that
racing in a Rockstar game is going to happen.
Yeah, most activities that we saw in the first game, I would be very surprised if they didn't make at least some kind of second appearance here. But that all said, here's where we get to do some extrapolating.
Okay.
So let's say, because your horse is more of your companion than anything else, not necessarily like your bestie best friend, but it is an important character that has permadeath.
Mm-hmm.
That said, if you can start the game with two bonus horses, or potentially a third, depending on what Arthur's starting gear horse would be, I feel like we can extrapolate from that notion that you're not going to have to make some kind of horrible Sophie's Choice for a horse. you're not gonna stand there.
So you're expecting a stable system, a livery of some kind.
Excuse me. This is Rockstar, so it is from the makers of Grand Theft Auto. It is a horse garage.
A horse garage. Okay, so you think you're coming out and speculating horse garage.
I think it would be very, it would be very surprising and honestly kind of a pain in the ass if there wasn't a way that you could not necessarily keep your horses forever, but at the very least have them live in a place.
A corral.
Yeah.
A herd.
A stable. A stable. A horse garage.
A livery.
It's a horse garage.
I like that. You heard it here first, folks.
Horse garage is not confirmed.
Horse garage confirmed, right there.
Not confirmed at all.
Not confirmed at all. Not in the least. Okay, so that's one thing extrapolated. What else?
Well, so, I mean, there's that. Going through the rest of the special edition bonuses, we get the name of a new town from that. We get the...
And the town's called?
The town is called Rhodes. Okay. It's, quote, a southern town. We've you're going to be running across... they've said over mountains and over the hills. I forget exactly what Arthur says in that second trailer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fair bet that, like, if it's a southern town, we've already seen, like, bayous and plantation stuff, which we also get more info on, which is super fun. Roads we don't know pretty much anything about except that there's a bank there and that we can rob it.
Okay.
But
if there's a bank, why not rob it?
Exactly. So you've got the town of Rhodes, which is super neat. You can pull a little more data on location stuff from the collector's box, which is the big physical collector's bin. It comes with, like, the steel box and the playing cards. But most importantly, it comes with a puzzle of a town called Saint Denis, not Saint Denis. I'm a filthy American.
Okay, Saint Denis.
Saint Denis, I assume, because
I don't speak French.
I mean, I can only assume. Like,
but Saint Denis.
I don't feel like someone's gonna be like, "Howdy, welcome to Saint Denis."
What real world town could that be?
Oh, gee, I don't know. Well, we've seen the streetcars are already in one of the trailers. You can see behind Dutch in the third trailer as he kind of pushes his way into that bank. There's a streetcar going by in the background, which is something that Louisiana is famous for, specifically New Orleans. We also get those bayous. We see that burning plantation house in the second trailer. So I think that pretty much confirms that Saint Denis is our Red Dead verse version of
New Orleans.
Of New Orleans.
Okay.
So there's that. We know it's a port town. Mm-hmm. It's nice, too. I mentioned this in a piece on IGN that I wrote that you can totally see all of these items called out on.
Yeah, you should.
That it also almost definitively puts to bed. I mean, you know, no one has officially come out and said, to my knowledge, that it's not. But we all knew from the beginning that that map, like 2 or 3 years ago with New Bordeaux from Mafia 3 on it, was bullshit. But it's nice to finally put the stake in the chest of that stupid ass vampire.
Oh wow, you felt fervently.
I have feelings.
This.
I have,
you have
feelings
strong
about
feelings
this.
About it. But yet we do have a New Orleans style area.
Oh
what does that open up for you? I mean, have you been to New Orleans?
I have not, which is one of the great shames of my American existence.
It's quite a place.
I hear. Yeah, you can get very long drinks with very funny straws and
you
drink
can.
Them on the sidewalk.
You can do that. Actually, you're well on your way to one of those right now, I think. That's a fairly tall one right there.
I mean, it's tall.
I'm pretty impressed.
Yeah.
Riverboats and Maverick gambler
that's
type
really,
stuff.
Like,
and,
obviously, I can't say for certain whether we'll see any of this, but I really, really, really want to see a Maverick-esque style riverboat poker tournament that I can either partake in or rob or both.
Yeah, both sounds like
both
the best
is the
options.
Ideal scenario, and then also set fire to said riverboat and watch it sink. Just because, like, that's just fun.
Well, riverboats were a very important part of life in that period of American history. Rivers were highways, and before the train lines were laid everywhere, they were a good way to get around. I would say at that point in history, by 1899, they were probably less important.
But see, this is why I like coming on this show, because not only am I going to get to talk fun Red Dead stuff, I'm going to learn me something, too.
Well, riverboats are neat, and they are kind of a classical Western slash Southern thing. One of the,
for sure.
The West is defined in cinema, is defined in film, and is defined in games is more of an idea than a geographic location.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Django Unchained is as much a Western as any Western.
Absolutely.
But it takes place in the
Maverick
South.
Maverick is also, like, it's a Western. Like, there's a bunch of stuff that does happen in the desert, but the majority of that movie takes place on a goddamn riverboat.
Yeah, it feels very, very Southern-ish.
Yeah.
And you get a lot of that. And again, riverboats went all the way up to Missouri, which was the West at one
Missouri.
Point. It's got to be in Missouri.
You can't say Missouri. It's Missouri.
Missouri, my friend.
Right.
Exactly. I digress. Let's return to that collector's edition.
There's a bunch of other cool stuff in the collector's box. But the Saint Denis is really the big standout one for me in that. Though that said, I always like a good tin box to keep stuff in.
Yeah, that steel book.
The steel book is really nice.
Yeah.
And also that bandana, what with all like the guns and stuff woven into it as well as floral print. It looks...
Fun fact, if you wear a bandana in real life and you commit a crime, you will still be prosecuted. So don't do it.
Yeah, unless you don't get recognized.
Yeah, but now there's facial recognition software.
But you're wearing a bandana.
Yeah, but it knows the eyes.
Does it?
Yeah, I saw that.
What if you wear two bandanas?
Well, then you probably can't commit the crime because you can't see, but you also can't be identified.
I think the only way to figure this out is a trial by fire. We have to do it.
What, commit
crimes
wearing two bandanas?
We're not doing that. We'll talk about that during the break.
Definitely. Speaking of the break, I think it's probably time for us to step away for just a second.
Where we will definitely not plan crimes.
Yeah. You like the Magnificent Seven?
Here's my fucking shameful piece of JR history. I've only seen the new one. I know, but wait. Before you continue doing your fucking body snatcher shriek out of horror, which you are entitled to, my friend. Look at it this way. Now I get to watch the original and be like, fuck, that new one's a piece of shit.
Good point.
Right? Like, imagine watching RoboCop, or I'm sorry, Cyber Policeman 2014.
Cyber Policeman 2014.
This is not fucking RoboCop. He is Cyber Policeman 2014.
Cyber Sheriff. Your sheriff argument was great, by the way, in the last one. Robot Sheriff.
Oh, good, yeah. Well, first off, no. But Cyber Policeman 2014 is not a sheriff.
Oh.
Alex Murphy of RoboCop is a sheriff. He's here to clean up that town.
But Cyber
Alex Murphy of Bullshit Town, USA, Bullshitburg, is bullshit. I'm not drunk,
really,
I swear.
It's a really bad movie.
It's so fucking bad. But that said, there is one fucking dope ass bit in that movie where he, like, Gary Oldman, he's like, how bad is it? And he's like, just his face, and it pulls out, and he's just a head with fucking lungs attached.
I remember that, yeah.
That is the only good part of that movie, but it is so good. He's just like, ah! Like, that was so fucking cool. That was the one moment that the original RoboCop is missing, but there's a reason it's missing.
That's the It Me meme that I need.
I'm a head with lungs.
It's like a photo of that. It says It Me. That's the It Me meme that I need.
I like that a lot. That's very good.
Definitely. I like that one, too.
Oh, God. We're still fucking... Okay. Well, that's a segment now.
And we're back. So that's some of the collector's edition, what you extrapolated from that. Anything else before we move on to Ultimate?
Here's the thing is I'm sure that there is more, but off the top of my head, there's a lot more interesting shit in the Ultimate and the Special Editions, to be honest.
Okay.
So before we dive into the Ultimate stuff, because that's all online related, which is still super fucking neat, the Special Edition also comes with a couple of different boosts. The first one is what it comes with I think they just call them gameplay boosts, but in the description they say that they're core stat boosts,
mm-hmm.
Which encompass your stamina, mm-hmm. your health, and your Deadeye.
Right.
So for Deadeye and health, we know what those are from the first game, you know, how much health you can have, how much Deadeye you can expend before you have to wait for it to replenish or replenish it with items.
But stamina's new.
Stamina's new, but also not entirely unexpected.
Right.
You know, we saw it in GTA 5, mm-hmm. I think a little bit in... Was there a stamina bar in GTA 4?
I honestly don't remember.
I don't think that there was, but I think there was one in San Andreas.
Mm-hmm.
But there was definitely one in 5, obviously. And I feel like the fact that these things are labeled core stats
mm-hmm.
also means that there are other stats that we have.
Oh.
Well, I mean, again, the great thing that Rockstar manages to do almost every time that they release a game is that they take the lessons and they take mechanics that worked really well and were interesting in the first game, even some that maybe didn't work so well in the game before, and they make them work and they make them interesting in the new edition.
Mm-hmm.
So jumping from 5 to Red Dead is, like, we're going to see, you know, in 5 you had Franklin had his driving ability was super good. Michael's shooting ability was really high. Mm-hmm. But the stuff that they weren't so good at, stealth, flying, the hell is the other one? Strength.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are going to be things that I think I'd be surprised if we didn't see some version of that.
Oh, really? Just like a sort of a refined version of each of those? With the exception of flying,
flying and driving, I don't think
Pegasus.
So.
Pegasus.
That would be tight.
All right.
No, but I don't necessarily mean those specific ones, but I think some kind of mechanic like that,
yeah.
where, you know, you've got your core stats, which are the things that are active meters all the time,
okay.
and you know, by one way or another, you improve those.
Yeah.
Whether it's by the boost thing that you get by pre-ordering the special edition, or, you know, you can probably train them up in other ways.
Yeah, I mean, if it's anything like GTA 5, you just get it from doing
stuff.
It,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, your stealth goes up by sneaking around.
You know,
you literally just... I remember you, when you were doing the GTA 5 wiki, you just, like, crouched down and then put a duct tape or a rubber band around the controller. So you literally just
never.
Walked in circles.
I don't know what you're talking about. That never happened.
Your stealth was up to 100. it was very good. It was super fun. Well, it was great because, like, you'd be gone and someone would come over and be like, hey, where's Jared? And then, like, as we were talking, they just, like, slowly start looking at your screen.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck is going on there?
Just walking.
It's like,
in
it's circles. Fine. He's improving his character. Don't
yeah.
worry about
he's
it.
He's usually off, like, shooting something at
yeah,
that point.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. I'd forgotten about that. But yeah,
so the
doing by playing stuff, I really do enjoy that mechanic
yeah.
in games. I actually appreciate it a lot.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, even though it may not be a traditional RPG,
mm-hmm.
you know, you see it in a lot of RPGs. You see it especially, like, the one that always comes to mind for me is Skyrim, where it's like the more you use a one-handed weapon, the stronger you are with those items.
Well, I mean, that goes all the way back to Dungeons and Dragons and
yep.
the whole idea of why video games and D&D are inherently connected, because
yeah.
D&D was one of the first things to say, hey, how do we represent a human characteristic like intelligence or strength in a game? Well, we'll have to use mathematics.
Bogus.
So
we're bad at that.
Yeah, you fill in a number...
Yep.
And that allows you to plug that into a formula, and that allows you to perform tests. Video games are just infinitely more complicated
yep.
extensions of the same idea.
Yep.
Which is why I've heard people before argue that D&D is the most influential video game ever. And I
oh,
think 100%, some truth to
but
that.
Not Baldur's Gate.
Baldur's Gate's awesome.
Yeah, but it's not the most influential video game.
No, but it's real good.
It is real.
When I say D&D, I don't mean D&D video games.
No, I know. I know. I'm aware of the analogy.
Where do you find Planescape Torment or Baldur's Gate?
Just pen and paper D&D. if you give me a choice between any D&D property, I will always just choose the tabletop.
Probably me too.
But anyways,
I digress. Going back, so we have characters that get better at things as they're doing. It's an experience system. And that's a fair extrapolation to make. What else?
There's those which I think are, you know, I could posit theories on like what those skills are actually going to be, but I feel like it's still like too early to know exactly what those. Like I would assume that you can probably have one that like, you know, to go back to Dungeons and Dragons a little bit, like animal handling. Mm-hmm. Like I would not be surprised if there was one that I don't think you can go like full Crocodile Dundee and be like, and like stop a bear from attacking you. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't be surprised if there was a skill that you could improve that would let you, you know, train horses faster, that would let your bond with a horse improve quicker than it would.
Oh, interesting.
Would.
Okay.
Again, of course, you know, no source on that whatsoever, but I would not be surprised if that would be a thing.
What about a survival skill of some kind for like Batman detective mode type stuff?
Well, so there's another,
or other things to gather.
So there are other bonuses that come with the survival edition or the special edition that
exactly.
I'm curious about. And that's the thing where I don't know.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of items that you get in the special edition. One is a talisman that goes on your boot, and the other is a medallion that goes in your satchel. And the medallion is a fairly it's a fairly basic ability buff, but it's an interesting concept.
The name of the ability buff is what.
Well, so there's the environmental awareness one,
right,
which is for the talisman on your boot,
right? Yeah.
Which that's the one that I'm super curious to see what the f that is.
Mm-hmm.
Or fuck, I can say fuck on here.
Of course you can.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
Sorry, children at
Maybe
home.
Maybe it's just so when you're riding by, you actually see the flowers.
I think that it's something along those lines. Where
cougars,
it's like,
don't jump on your head as much.
Exactly. It's like, oh, there's a cougar over there. No, I think you know, similar to being able to buy survivalist maps in the first one, which would ping flowers and stuff in a wider radius on your map, or it would like show them all in a certain location or region. I feel like it's going to be something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe something along the lines of being able to like mark and tag animals when you're hunting them or something. But I, you know, I don't think it's necessarily going to be like a detective vision.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be a super neat thing to see.
That might take you out of the game though, because so much of the world's built about being beautiful. I think they'd find a more subtle way to do it.
Yeah, I feel like it would be
different kind of cue.
Yeah, I think it might be like a map radial icon or
mm-hmm.
something that's like, oh, there are animals over here.
Mm-hmm.
Or even if it's just a thing on your mini map that has like an icon for that animal being like, oh, it's moving now.
Okay, that works.
But I don't think we're going to see like a predator vision.
No, I really kind of hope not, actually.
No, not at all. I think it would be funny as hell, but I don't think it's something that I actually want to see.
Doesn't exactly fit that. But you mentioned the medallion.
So the medallion is another thing that just kind of gives you a general boost. It prevents you from it reduces your incoming damage when you're riding on horseback.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of not a throwaway thing, but it's a pretty standard ability for any video game item. But this is also a new way of doing things for a Rockstar game.
Yeah.
So taking those abilities and saying, okay, so the way that I look at it is it essentially takes the stats that you would get boosted or the abilities you would have improved by putting on an entire outfit in the first game.
Mm-hmm.
So like the Bollard Twins game, I think you did extra damage with that one. Or the one that I always know for sure is the Red Dead, the Deadeye Assassin one.
Oh, we just had a blinking light there for a second. That's
super fun. We're
Please
all going to die. The Deadeye meter would recharge twice as fast. So seeing them sort of take that idea and make it be equipable items, I'm very curious to see how many of those might exist in this world and how we go about finding them, because we know treasure maps are discovered, and like treasure maps are items that come with the various special editions.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if like those items that gave you those boosts, or even like perhaps really like much better ones, like going back to D&D, like magic items.
Yeah.
If those were your treasure map rewards instead of just a couple of gold bricks.
Well, the landscape of customization in games has changed quite a bit since the first Red Dead game and the way that we approach those. And I mean, obviously there's always been the incentive to customize your characters very much in role-playing games and really in a lot of different things. But then you look at effects of things like games like Destiny or Destiny 2 and how those affected the way we think about, well, tricking something out exactly.
Well, I mean, even GTA Online and Grand Theft Auto 5 story mode to a point, but really GTA Online.
Yeah. But I can tweak my dude just the way I want it as long as I have the right gear, which means doing in the game what I have to do to have the right gear, which means creating a new incentive, new quest lines, new things to shoot for.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think that there's a lot of neat stuff to sort of check out in the special edition from that story mode stuff. Those are the ones that for me are like the real big, like, ooh moments. Mm-hmm. You can also, you know, there's a bunch of other like cash bonuses that the description for the cash bonus says you'll have enough to buy like some ammo, weapons, and some food. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, the demo that we saw, I know that you have to, or that the camp needs food to keep everyone well fed and to keep morale high.
Yeah.
I don't know what food as an individual item means. Mm-hmm.
I doubt they're going to go full roguelike where you just starve to death.
No. I think, I mean, you know, they sort of did that in San Andreas with CJ having to eat every 3 days mm-hmm. or he would die. Or not die, but he would start to lose health.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think that, because when we talked to Rockstar, we talked to Rob Nelson, the co-studio head of Rockstar North, his big thing was, you know, we were, in our specific conversation, we were referring to the whole, the rot mechanic, the fact that when carcasses lie in the woods or on the back of your horse for a while, they'll rot and they'll get attract animals and they'll be gross.
Mm-hmm.
But that wouldn't necessarily work for like squirrel bodies and stuff. Those get wrapped in wax. Those get put in your satchel. Those are good essentially forever.
Okay.
Because that would be a real big pain in the ass. Like that wouldn't be fun to constantly have to empty your sack full of, you know, squirrel mush.
Okay.
So there, it's still that notion of fun outweighs like hardcore realism.
Okay. So it's something to provide you with a pleasing illusion of realism without making it tedious.
Yeah. I feel like it will be more so something to boost the immersion of life in the Old West. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily think that we'll see huge, huge, huge debuffs if you don't eat regularly.
Mm-hmm.
If that is a route that they have chosen to go, I don't think it would be anything more than, let's say, like a stamina decrease.
Yeah, in an open world, it's hard to imagine leaning too heavily into that. Because, I mean, and there's some games that are built around health mechanics that are very, you know, Minecraft is.
I mean, plenty of open world games are built around having to feed yourself to survive. Yeah. Rust, DayZ,
Ark, Minecraft, exactly.
But those are all specifically survival games. Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know how heavily they'd lean into the survival mechanic in this.
I think it will be a neat bit of extra immersion. Yeah. I would be surprised if it was anything more than like maybe your carrying capacity gets decreased a little bit. Maybe you can't run as fast for as long.
Yeah. Now we're saying all this in like, you know, a few months they release it.
Oh,
literally,
of course,
your skin is like last crusading against your skull.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it's like, I haven't eaten.
Yeah. You literally can't walk back again. You have to crawl. And they're doing it just to spite you and I specifically.
Yeah, yeah, they're just adding this right now. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hope you're watching.
But yeah, so I think that that's an interesting potential. I think that has potential to be an interesting mechanic.
Yeah.
I don't know where it's going to go, but I'm curious.
What else?
There was one more thing on the story. Oh, gang upgrades. Or not gang upgrades, but upgrades to your camp.
Okay.
Now we know that the camp is sort of like the.
Oh, it got dark again.
Oh, it's the motion sensors.
Oh crap! Okay, I'll go fix the lights.
Do you like Red Dead Radio? Then I recommend you also check out Hop, Blip, and a Jump, the part documentary, part diary, part storytelling, part video essay show that I do about how video games are all connected to one another and to the deepest parts of our lives. You can check it out at youtube.com/hopblipandajump or just find it at hopblipandajump.com.
Hey, sorry about that. The lights went out.
Yeah, the government totally didn't like us talking about doing all those crimes earlier.
Indeed, they heard about it.
Anyways, the last thing in the special edition that really caught my eye was the camp upgrades.
Oh.
So we know that the camp is sort of like the lifeblood of the gang, in the sense that it's like where you retreat to if you have a lot of trouble with the law, theoretically.
Kind of a hub world?
I don't think it's a hub world.
Okay.
No, it's your camp. It's where you go. It's your home.
It's home. I like that much more.
Because you're part of the gang, it's everyone's sort of gathering place. You know, it's where you guys, it's your base of operations for figuring out whatever the next step is.
I'm really glad you made that distinction, because one of the things that I think they really have tried to get across already is that some of the nomenclature we use around video game terms is stuff that they're fooling with the way we think about how games are supposed to operate. So while there's still mechanics underneath, words like hub world don't really apply.
Well, I mean,
apply.
Also, I feel like hub world in general wouldn't necessarily apply to begin with.
Yeah.
Crunchy crack crack.
Crunchy crack crack indeed. Delicious.
Fucking cheers, buddy.
Yeah, cheers. Kompai. All right. So, wow, that was a mighty swig. That said, my friend.
So, Sorry, I should let you continue on that.
Don't worry.
So we know that, like, if you keep the camp well fed, if you choose to,
yeah,
they can fend for themselves. So you don't, it's not a babysitting thing.
Yeah.
You won't have to necessarily do it. Mm-hmm. But if the camp does run low on food, we know that morale will be low. People will sort of not really be in a very good mood. They won't be up for a whole lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, we know that if the camp is well fed and there's a lot of good stuff happening to it, there'll be like festivities and folks will be happy and up and around. So I'm assuming that those camp upgrades will probably just be ways of making that side of life easier.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe Pearson's the cook who we went hunting for in the demo that we talked about last time. Maybe you can get Pearson better supplies so he can preserve food for longer.
Mm-hmm.
So if you bring him, say, $3 in a day instead of just one, he won't have to throw out two of those bucks after a couple of days.
There's also the possibility that it can improve the benefit that you get from that.
Exactly.
Like one could be a quality of life improvement to make it easier. The other could be, well, we're going to make it worth even more to do this investment. Some kind of reward.
Maybe something along the lines of like, if you rob... You can have like a private cache or an ammo store
mm-hmm.
or something. Maybe the way that you, the way you can resupply a camp is easier or more beneficial.
Yeah.
Like suddenly someone at camp might have guns for you.
I like games that have a divided, I mean, obviously it's going to be a seamless part of the world, but I don't know if I want this in Red Dead 2 or not. But I keep waiting for somebody to create this game. I think about XCOM, where you're divided between your combat missions and your base building.
Yep.
I think about Fallout Shelter, which is mostly the base building portion of that.
Yeah, but you also have world exploration.
I kind of like
Fallout 4, when you have Preston Garvey's fun time building exploranza.
Yeah, I keep waiting for a AAA open world game where you're handling a lot of your exploration action adventure sections on your console.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a mobile app that is not separate where you're managing your camp.
Hmm.
Like when I'm not at home there, I can still be doing my base building.
I'd be doing that. Again, I think you're right not to say if we want that for Red. I don't think I would want that.
No, the only way I'd want it, I wouldn't want to be able to buy boosts. I wouldn't want to be able to buy upgrades. I wouldn't want to have any of the slot machine system or run out of gems or any of that. What I want is the ability to purchase or earn in the game cosmetics that show back up in my
be great.
I got this thing in this and now I can use it in my console version too.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what we're going to get with Red Dead 2.
Something that would ever be super helpful.
But I do like the idea of having a camp that I can pay it to. I like baseball.
I mean, maybe so this is a great way to move into it because the Ultimate Edition comes with a lot of info on the online stuff. Well, not a lot of info, but certain info.
Boom, boom. Boom! There's an online version.
Well, we knew it existed.
Yeah. We've all known this was going to happen for a long time. They're very clear about the fact this is part of the future of their company.
Yeah, I mean, they registered Red Dead Online years ago at this point, I think. Sony, there was a partnership announcement with them with Sony like 2 or 3 years ago saying like they were going to create a brand new online experience. Like, we've known online is coming for forever. This just, confirms it. I don't really think that they're going to talk about it at all outside of the info that we got from these from this info release.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I feel like they will want to keep us sort of focused on, like we saw with GTA, we'll see a bunch of information on the story mode and the world that they've created and the characters probably up until a month before launch. And then we'll see like a little bit of a trailer or a demo of GTA or Red Dead Online.
Mm-hmm. When do you think we'll see that?
Red Dead Online?
Yeah.
You mean practically like to play?
Yeah, when do you think we'll see it? Because I think about GTA Online rolling out after GTA 5.
I think that was actually really smart mm-hmm. of them to do in the first place. I know that the launch of GTA Online was rickety.
Mm-hmm.
But I think now that they've got their handle on it, like the thing that for GTA Online for me and going from GTA 5 to GTA Online was that GTA gave me 2 weeks with the world and the mechanics to learn how to play the game and to learn like my favorite areas.
Yep.
So that, theoretically I would love to see Red Dead 2 come out 2-3 weeks, even a month, depending on how much exploring I have to do in the world of Red Dead, which I assume will be a shitload.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think this is one of those places where player service, like what is best for us,
yeah,
and marketing converge. Yeah. It's good because you learn the world. You get to know where you want to be.
And that's the thing.
Right. And then for the marketers, you can sit and go, well, okay, you had this big wave of news as the game came out.
Right.
You have all this time for stories to simmer as people are discovering the world. And then you get a whole new wave as effectively a second game that came in the same package is released.
Exactly.
It's really cool.
Like, and that's the thing, too, where it's like, you know, you have those options, too. Once you learn the world a bit, once you like finish the story mode, learn your favorite spots, like I can say, hey, Jared, speaking of, by the way, we still haven't played Red Dead Online.
Still haven't.
One together with what the fuck? Anyways, I can call you up and be like, hey, Red Dead 2 is coming out tomorrow. I want to go to, you know, super mega Eagle High Peak.
Yeah.
That's like my favorite place. I want to like take a horse and I want to sled down it.
Yep. We're going to ride that Pegasus.
Exactly.
But yeah, I want the Pegasus to be like a jetpack. That's
I think that'd be great. That'd be super fun. Or just a jetpack, like Rocketeer style, though. Like a steampunky one where it's just like literally just like petrol canisters on your back.
I love the Rocketeer. Joe Johnson. His powers.
Timothy Dalton with a mustache. Sir?
Yes.
The best movie villain of all time.
Neville Sinclair?
I'm Neville Sinclair! Yes, I fucking love The Rocketeer. The Rocketeer that movie is so really good. and also, between The Rocketeer and Hot Fuzz, Timothy Dalton with a mustache has been proven the most villainous movie villain of all time.
He made a supermarket owner into a supervillain.
It's like, take away the mustache, you'd lose half the character.
I agree. I saw him in Bond, he didn't have the mustache. That's why it didn't work.
I mean, I liked him. See, here's the thing.
He was okay, Bond.
This is what's going to get my ass kicked by the internet. I kind of like Timothy Dalton as James Bond.
He was a fine James Bond.
It's just a shame the scripts that he was given.
You didn't want to see him going on a cello, like sliding down a hill on a cello?
Oh, no. As a kid who played the cello in high school, I super did want to see
him. All right.
What I didn't want to see is Felix Leiter getting eaten by sharks. Spoilers. For a movie from 1988.
Heading back to...
Anyways, back to the real world, by which I mean the fake world of the Old West. So with the online stuff... you had a really good transition, and then I forgot what it was.
It's my fault. Don't
worry. No.
We're Pegasus.
No, it was way before that. Way before the Pegasus. All right. It was so much far before that.
You know what? We've just lost it. Let's just...
Anyway, so the Ultimate Edition comes with bonuses to online.
Yeah.
And what we know from that is that it comes with some outfit pieces, which essentially confirm. So they say that it comes with two outfits, but they also take the time to explain all of the parts of those outfits.
Yeah.
So we essentially can pull from that the customization system will be relatively similar to, if not, you know, expanded on from GTA Online.
Okay.
Where you've got, you know, gloves, vests, overcoats, jeans, chaps, boots, hats, whatever.
And why not do it?
I mean, why not? It's like, just, you know, so cool. I really like the character choice in Red Dead Online original, like the first Red Dead multiplayer free roam. I always play as Ugly Chris from Red Dead Revolver.
Okay.
It makes sense. Like, this was something that we always kind of figured would be the case, but shrug. So I'm glad to kind of know that that's something I'll be able to do. I'm curious to know if there'll be like the tattoo side of things where like I can get like crazy Joker paint on my face.
No.
I kind of don't want to go into the Old West with a purple fucking overcoat. I think that'd be very dumb.
I do like the idea. I mean, tattoos are actually kind of awesome.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to see like, you know, you and I were talking off camera about the 13th Warrior earlier. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see the Old West equivalent of animal masks where it's just like a bear pelt over the top of my head.
Well, yeah, I'm thinking of the remake of True Grit where you've got the guy riding up with literally just a giant bear head.
Exactly. Just like a bear pelt over my back and shoulders. I think that'd be super neat.
I want that.
But the most important detail we got about online is that in the Ultimate Edition, you also unlock what they call a theme for your camp, for your personal camp.
Yeah.
Which... And again, this is not for sure. It sounds like one of two things can come from that. Either A, you know, you've got a little tiny campsite that is yours and yours alone. Or, based on what we know of the single player, the story mode experience, and sort of how GTA Online works, I think it's likely that we'll probably each get control of our own gang.
Okay.
Now, of course, that's just... You know, John Ryan having wild fantasies.
Is this like gangs as crews in GTA 5 or different?
So maybe like a crew. Maybe you can have your friends join your own gang.
Or maybe it's a gang of NPCs.
But I think it's like that. I think the way that I would look at it would be... I mean, the way that I would like it to come out, my ideal sort of version of this, in theory, would be sort of like a mix of like the abilities and stuff that we have in GTA Online, or at least some of them, because obviously you can't have like an attack helicopter in 1899. But some attack kind of
Pegasus.
There it is. Some kind of mix of that with in The Last of Us. If you haven't played it, it wasn't a physical space that you inhabited, but you did have to manage a survivor camp. You could choose a side of either the Fireflies or the whatever the fuck the government was called.
Don't worry about it. But yeah, you would have people wander in and out.
The better you did in multiplayer events or matches or in the world, like not the world, but like in matches, the larger your survivor camp would be and the more supplies you would have if you gathered them around the world. And the worse you did, they would all die. So I think I don't necessarily know if there's going to be any kind of like, you know, it's definitely not going to be like a base building management type thing. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't be surprised if the higher in, because we know you get a rank boost up to at least level 25. I assume that that's probably going to be similar to GTA Online, where you can just keep going up forever.
Right, and rank boosts give you access to new things, to new missions, to new creative abilities, all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
So I think what we're probably going to see is if I'm right, and if it is, you get your own camp. That is, you know, NPC gang members. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this might not even be a physical place that you go to. I feel like it probably will be because you're getting a theme for it. Mm-hmm. Or it could just be I feel like the abilities that we've kind of grown to rely on in GTA Online. So, like, you know, you call Lester and he removes your wanted level. You know, in this, that would be the equivalent of, you know, sending a pigeon to Chuck and being like, hey, Chuck, go down and bribe the sheriff.
Yeah.
You know, it could be something like, you know, Meriwether has an attack helicopter. Well, obviously there's no fucking helicopters, but if you send a signal to your gang, they'll send four or five hombres to
help
come
out.
Come and bail you out of a jam. I think that given what we know about how GTA works and how that, like what we do know of the world of Red Dead single player, I feel like that's would be a smart way of them keeping those abilities that prove very, very useful and fun in online.
What do you think they're saving for this? Like, you know, so they've been developing GTA 5 online for years now. And it's just at this point this cacophony of different activities. But somewhere along the development cycle for GTA 5, I would assume they'd sit there and have this great idea and then go, "No, let's save this for Red Dead." Let's have something.
Oh, shit. I haven't even thought about that. Yeah. Fuck.
Because I think there will be things that we haven't seen in GTA. We're assuming that it's all going to be GTA to Red Dead. But there's going to be uniquely Red Dead things.
We know that there's definitely not going to just be. It's not just going to be GTA Online 2.
Yeah.
Like, there's no point to that. You know, because I could just keep playing GTA Online because speedboats and cars and jetpacks.
But what have they saved? And that's really intriguing for me.
Personally, the greatest thing that I've wanted from Red Dead Online 1 has been the ability to lasso somebody else and road haul.
We talked about this before, but I'm really obsessed with road hauling.
In case you're watching, Rockstar, please give me a fucking lasso that I can rope this guy up with.
He wants to rope his friends. I want Pegasus.
Yeah, Pegasus and rope. Pegasus that is a good band name.
Pegasus and Rope?
And Rope. I like that.
Also a good like late 80s like buddy cop series. Pegasus and Rope.
That's the album art.
Like Hardcastle and McCormick, man. Have you ever watched Hardcastle and McCormick?
No, I super haven't.
Which is about the convicted race car driver and the retired judge that solve crimes together.
That sounds atrocious. If there were any sequence of words that were about to come out of your mouth after you said Hardcastle and McCormick, those were the furthest from what I would have ever expected.
It's the most bizarre concept. It's the judge. Oh. He has a list of all the cases that slipped through the cracks.
Of course he does. Because of course he does.
And then Hardcastle's the judge. I think McCormick's the driver. And he's like, so McCormick's the guy that he put away.
The two of them worked together, tracking down the creeps
that got away.
The only thing that would make this, I assume this is the 80s.
The only thing
that would make that more 80s is if at some point during the series, McCormick dies, but they put his brain into the car. Like, that would be the only thing to make it more fucking 80s than
that
already sounds.
Forget that. I want the Hardcastle and McCormick gritty reboot on Netflix.
No, absolutely not.
We got to take a break really quick, friends. We will be right back.
I'm going to go watch that entire series right now.
Hi.
Hi, I'm going to be one of the hosts at GameSpot's co-op stage at E3 2018, and I'm really excited. My section of the show starts at 12:40 p.m., that's Pacific time, on Thursday, June 14th. That's 12:40 p.m., Thursday, June 14th. A lot of really neat guests coming by. I'm looking forward to this. It's a fantastic opportunity to get to talk about things I love with people that have interesting stories to tell, and I hope you'll join me. You can watch on the live stream, or if you got a pass for E3, you can come by the GameStop co-op stage, and I hope that you will. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
And we're back.
Again.
So two questions for you here, John.
Okay.
Different editions here. We got special editions. We got collector's editions. We got ultimate editions.
Well, we've got special edition and ultimate edition, and then the collector's box.
Ah, because the collector's box, is the game in it?
It's not. I've seen a lot of folks get like real ornery about that.
It's come with the code?
No, I don't believe so.
So it's just...
It's just stuff.
Okay,
it's
stuff. So it's just stuff related to
the way I look at it is like... If you were to buy the collector's box with all the puzzle and the tin box and everything else, the coin, the kerchief, the cards, and get the special edition of the game or the ultimate edition, you're still only paying as much as you would for like the super mega ultimate edition of another game.
Mm-hmm.
Like the God of War one with the big Kratos statue, like that was $180-$200.
Mm-hmm.
The Gears of War 4 one with the giant motorbike statue, that was like $200. Like, it's no more than you would get if you bought the same version of another game.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that you have to buy it twice.
So what combination of these do you think look most attractive to you? Like, when you're going out and doing your...
I'm really tempted to get the collector's box,
but
I think I'm probably going to definitely go with the ultimate, just because, you know, whether or not I do end up buying the big tin box with the puzzle and stuff, because I like puzzles.
Well, it's fun to have something tactile.
Yeah. Oh, also, I need a new handkerchief for when I'm doing all my crimes.
That's true. Well, you need two.
Well, that's fine. So I'll have to buy two collector's boxes and one of the ultimate editions. And I'm going to get the ultimate edition because I plan to play the shit out of online mode.
But
at the very least, I would definitely get the special one just because there is a couple of extra missions, and I'm super curious to see what those, you know, the wiki editor in me is really, really incapable of not having those numbers. Like, forever I would always be asking, like, well, what would the number be if I had gotten those stat boosts?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how long would my environmental awareness last if I had that talisman?
Definitely identify with that.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that's probably the ultimate version for me.
Ultimate version plus collector's box, you think?
Potentially. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see where I'm at.
What's the defining factor for you?
What my paychick looks like that month. You know.
All the other months?
No, any month. It just depends on what other life bullshit happens, you know.
As for me, I tend to collect physical memorabilia that happen to be more incidental. Most of the little items that I keep that remind me of games or experiences were not necessarily created to be mementos of the moment that
came out. I appreciate that.
Just tend to be things that became important afterward. So I'm probably less likely personally to grab the collector's box. Although
makes
sense. That could change.
My thing is like I see the tin box. Like the other stuff is cool. Like I like the playing cards. Like it's always handy to have a deck of cards around.
Yeah.
But I see the sizable tin lockbox and I'm like, I like a good box.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm kind of a hoarder in that sense. And so as a hoarder, I need places to put shit.
Of all the things there, the box is the most... First off, in my household, they're not boxes. They're storage solutions. Okay.
Perfect.
That's important to remember.
Yes, I'll have to have you tell my partner that.
Yeah. And second, I obsess over boxes. My wife, I drive her crazy. I have more boxes in my house than I have items to put in the boxes.
I know your pain.
I have boxes that are boxes inside with boxes. I have Russian nesting dolls.
You beat
boxes.
Me to it. Damn it.
Yes, that is storage solution. So that's the most tempting one.
For sure.
As for additions, I think there's good reasons to look at all of these. But for me, I learned a while ago that I probably have to resist my completionist nature because as a former guide writer
you. No, you don't.
I want to go out and do everything.
Lean into it.
So I'm probably going to lean toward the standard edition of the game.
The regular one?
Yeah, the regular edition. And that mostly
because... You don't want those stat boosts?
I think...
You know you want those stat boosts.
I think it's really just...
You want that medallion.
I'm going to get those stats eventually wandering around anyway.
Will you?
I don't know. But I think so. And more than that, there's so much content in this game. Like, Rockstar games are typically so rich and full of stuff to do.
And the other thing is, you'll make your own fun too.
Yeah, so I'm not too worried about it. But I see good reasons. I feel like they've struck a pretty good balance between obviously giving you a great reason to buy the game at whatever price point you can, you're willing to invest in, but likewise, not making it feel like, man, I sure am missing out if I don't get Ultimate.
Yeah, no, I don't feel like if I was in that same boat where, like, if I weren't literally writing a book about this game, mm-hmm. I mean, not a book, but, like, I'm writing enough words about it on IGN
to be a book.
It will be a book by the end of it, yeah.
GTA 5 Buddies for Life.
Oh, God. Anyways, so, like, you know, given that I'm going to be literally writing a book, I'm going to want to give myself as many advantages as I can. And I also, like, for the people out there who do buy the special edition, like, who do have access to those missions, like, I realize I'm very aware that in many situations I might write game help material for folks who don't need it. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you don't want to know how the best and most efficient way to rob that bank in Rhodes. Mm-hmm. You might not want to know what that is. You might want to figure it out for yourself, and that's cool. But somebody out there does.
Yep.
And so I want to be able to provide that for them. I want to be able to say, hey, Jared, you know what? You bought the standard edition, so my stats are 0.64% higher than yours, and we're both at the same level in the game. You know, I want to have that first day, like, hey, the Thoroughbred is actually a really useful horse when you want to do X, Y, or Z, and not just win races.
Yeah, actually, just for running away, I tend to flee a lot in life, so the Thoroughbred could be really useful for me, actually.
Fair. that's a large reason. Like, if I was strictly a, you know, just good little capitalist consumer, which, don't get me wrong, I am. If I was just buying it for personal fun, I would probably be okay getting the standard edition, because I don't feel like I'd be missing out on anything. You know?
No, they're offering different editions for a reason. They're offering extra value.
Exactly.
I think that's cool. So yeah, I'm looking forward to however you decide to play. Really curious. Are you planning on grabbing the collector's box? Are you going to grab the ultimate edition? Are you going to grab the special? We'd like to know.
Do you want to get that box with the box?
Yeah, you can let us know at mail@reddeadradio.com, or you can just tweet me at PettyCommaJared.
One of these days, I'm actually going to get you a mailbag.
Yeah,
because it's a shame that you don't have a big physical.
I really should.
Like, there's a big burlap sack right over there.
You know,
it's full of beans, but it's not full of mail.
I used to work in a post office contract station a long time ago.
Why didn't you steal mail sacks?
Okay, well...
Well, because that's a felony.
Yes, but also...
You could wear two bandanas.
The registered mail sacks are... I swear they're bulletproof. Like, they are made of
canvas
that you could not imagine. I didn't know there was canvas this thick in the world.
Have you, like, never been on a boat?
Okay, yeah. Like a sail. Exactly.
That's the thing, though. It's like, sails are fucking strong.
And the answer is actually not that many times have I been on a boat.
But, oh, that's fair. We'll change that.
Yeah, because you're a lobsterman, right?
Yep. I mean, not like by trade or anything, but like I'm of the north.
I absolutely believe that you and Seth Macy have been out on a schooner together at least once.
That would be a delightful afternoon, I bet.
Yeah, that guy. I like him a lot.
He's a good dude.
He's good people. All right, so enough of that, my friends. Let us know what edition you're going to grab. We're going to head into mail in a second. But first, John, I need to ask you about rocks.
About because rocks?
Last time you were here, we went through all this news here. And now there's still so much from your time with the game.
God.
You got to spend time in the room with the game.
So we just spent, 45 minutes?
Talking about today's news.
About the pre-order bonuses and what that could mean.
So,
and there was still like another 30 minutes of the demo that I saw. Or probably another 15 to 20 of it that we just didn't even talk about last time.
It just feels like we almost need to stretch this out and do another cast, you know?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll get back to you in about 15 minutes worth of demo talk. How about that?
Okay, that sounds good. So let's talk about rocks.
Let's talk about rocks, Jared.
Because we've got a lot of questions about physics in this game. People talking about engine concerns and about, you know, is this Red Dead 1? Is this GTA 5? What's this being built on?
Is it like Euphoria versus the version of Rage that we saw in, or I don't know if it was the Rage engine, but whatever the engine was that we saw.
Yeah, there's been questions about Euphoria, about how the game plays out, how it feels. And I really wanted to run it by you because when we talked last time off camera, one of the things you said to Jared, I got to talk about the rocks.
I do. Like, cause, you know, a lot of folks have been, you know, kind of adding me about, you know, the gunplay physics, like, will folks go pinwheeling off of a roof if I hit them in the shoulder with a sniper rifle? And to be honest, like, it's been, what's it now, the first week of June? So it's been 2 months, 3 months since I've seen this actually in action. And there was so much going on during the firefight portions. I honestly can't tell you. I saw folks fall off of roofs and I saw folks fall on the ground.
Okay. But you don't remember how they spun.
I don't specifically, like, we definitely saw, you know, a dude get caught in the stirrup and tumble away on his horse after he was getting chased.
Which is freaking rad.
But more importantly, like, I gotta talk about the fucking rocks.
Let's hear it.
I'm sorry, I just bashed your microphone.
It's all right, time to rock.
Microphone.
For those about to rock, we salute you.
You're a good friend, Jared.
Thanks, John.
So, you know, a lot of folks aren't going to get super geek-gasm-y about fucking rocks in a game. But for me, it's that kind of example about why Rockstar is the pedigree developer that it is. Mm-hmm. So in the demo that we saw, there was one point where we were out on a hunt and we sort of went up this little ridge. We saw a fox and they tried to go chase it. It disappeared, but we ended up at the top of this little ridge overlooking this really beautiful little valley. And as your horse like crested the hill to go down the other side, it was this rocky kind of sand and dirt and earth and gravel and stone hill. Not super steep, but enough that the horse had to kind of like, you saw it carefully treading its way down.
Okay.
Like its feet were like gingerly sort of pressed next to each other to make sure that it wouldn't tip over because of its balance. But the other side of it too is that when it was going down the hill, it nudged a rock.
Okay.
And that might sound like nothing, but the fact that that rock was not like, it didn't spawn there when the horse was moving. It was just part of the environment. And then it got knocked, and then it fell down, and then it hit another rock that then fell. And then, so those two rocks fell, and then they hit other rocks. And you just saw this little cascade of rocks moving. And it wasn't anything, you know, it wasn't a set piece moment, obviously. It was just walking down a fucking hill.
Mm-hmm.
But that sort of detail is not something you see in any other game.
No, when I think about traveling, when I think about the details of traveling around open worlds, there are lots of tricks used to make things more immersive.
Yep.
Lots of incredible things that designers do that at their best, we don't even notice.
Sand, I always think of Uncharted 2 with the snow in the Himalayas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that game was before my days of like paying attention to games press and, you know, having awareness of people being like, oh my god, the snow. So like when I was playing it like I played it first time on I borrowed it from a friend of mine and I played it on my couch and I got off the train and I went through the snow and after about 30 seconds I was like, wait a minute, I'm leaving fucking tracks in the snow.
Mm-hmm. And when you hadn't seen that before.
And when I hadn't seen that before, you're like, oh shit. And so this is one of those situations where it may be a minuscule detail, but it goes back to what I was talking about the last time you had me on with the way that they design their games.
Mm-hmm.
And that sense of, does this rock work with this rock?
Mm-hmm.
Does these two rocks work here? Does it big and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger? And so seeing those kind of details in terms of physics, it makes me really curious as to how the rest of it can pan.
Because you did distinctly see one fall, hit another
yeah, like,
start the cascade.
Like they kind of, and it wasn't like,
here's
a big,
bunch of
huge
debris.
Avalanche. Yeah. It was just sort of like these things very naturally just sort of tumbling down a hill.
So that's interesting. You know what fractals are?
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit last time.
Yeah, this reminds me of that same idea again. Rockstar's games, not all of them, but most of them that are designed around their open world pattern, are largely about making your own fun, telling your own stories.
Yep.
We've talked about that. And that means setting one thing in motion and then you hit it a certain way and that opens two branching paths and those open and those open. But that experience is rarely identical for two individual people because of the path that takes rolling down the hill. Very Ian Malcolm there in the back of the thing. Except that you're hitting all the different variables here. What you're describing there is a microcosmic design expression of the whole game.
Yeah. I mean, like seeing it in that light is a really smart analogy.
How is that technically possible on like a PlayStation or an Xbox?
I have no idea. I don't know. Like, I mean, I think I said this the last time. Like, when we finished the demo, when, you know, we were out hunting, we brought food back to camp, we went on this bank robbery, we escaped from the law. And through all of it, I was like, fuck, this looks really, really good. And at the very end, when they were like, oh, and this was running on a launch system, like a base level PS4, I was like, okay. But I mean, if you look at the things that GTA 5 did on 360. Like, it's that same way where it's Rockstar has this habit of taking the hardware that they're given and doing things with it that nobody else really has found a way to yet, or at least not do it as, I'll say, elegantly, even though some of the uses of it may not be particularly elegant, like having a dude get stuck in the saddle and flung off into the sky if he gets kicked in a certain way. Like, that's not particularly an elegant thing.
I don't know. I always regard that as elegant myself.
It's the beauty of nature.
Yeah.
But no one can do it like they can.
Yeah, well, they take an enormous amount of time on it.
And then that's the key, where it's like, that's where... Yeah.
They're willing to spend the money to make it happen.
And they can.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm sure that there are other game studios who are willing to spend that kind of money, but they don't have the guaranteed return on investment that Rockstar does.
Yeah, I mean, again, Nintendo and Bethesda, Breath of the Wild, yep. And what you get out of Bethesda, those are the other places you
well.
See that. Well, Bethesda spends a lot of time in their stuff, but they put their
resources... They wait for the community to finish it.
They put their resources into other areas. Yeah, Rockstar, by far, has a more finished-feeling open-world product.
Yeah, and again, like similarly to what we were talking about with their design philosophy of having it be that sort of fractal expansion...
Yeah.
It is that sense of everything being a handcrafted experience. You know, we you know, after seeing that sort of like just little tiny details in the physics demonstration mm-hmm. with those rocks, you know, we explored a bunch of the woods. We came to this one town that was like recently burned almost to ash. Like the only building that was really left standing was made of stone. Like everything else was smoldering in Tuscany. And I think it was actually, you could see it at the very, very end of trailer number 3.
Okay.
But seeing that location, like, you know, made me wonder immediately, like, oh, okay, well, so if carcasses rot and if rocks will tumble, like, could I, in theory, burn down a forest?
Did you try?
Well, I didn't play it.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
But I asked. I was like, hey, given the level of detail that you've put into this, this isn't this, like, is this possible? Is this something you can do? And the short answer is no.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not necessarily for a lack of desire to give us that sort of freedom.
Yeah.
But it's that notion that everything that they've built there is handcrafted. There's a story that they're telling in every single tree and leaf and animal and person in that game. Whether or not the story that they're hoping to tell is one that you sort of create for yourself, that they just kind of give you the narrative tools to make, or if it's a specific actual story, like an aside mission or a story mission. But the notion that, you know, if I could burn down a forest, that system of like rebuilding it there would take too much away from your ability to experience the world itself.
That's okay. That makes sense. No, they built a world and they've given you rules, but the rules are impressive. The rules are immersive and impressive exactly. In the way they're executed.
It's thoughtfully executed. It goes back to that notion of fun over like factual realism.
Yeah.
You know, where with the scavenging, for example, you know, it wouldn't be fun if you had to keep pulling dead squirrels out of your bag and throwing them away every 3 times, even though that would technically be more immersive and realistic.
Okay.
But it's not fun.
We got to take a break for a second. Coming back, your questions for John Ryan about what he saw of Red Dead 2. And, of course, luck of the draw. See you in a moment.
Live in Los Angeles or going to be at E3? Want to meet up? Then join me at the GameSpot Battle Rig at LA Live on Tuesday, June 12th at 8 p.m. Pacific. That's Tuesday, June 12th, 8 p.m. Pacific at the GameSpot Battle Rig at LA Live for a meetup for all the super friends, fans of Pockets Full of Soup, Hop, Blip, and a Jump, Red Dead Radio, or just anybody that wants to come by and say hello. I'll be there. I look forward to meeting you. You don't need an E3 pass to come. Doesn't cost anything. Just come by and say hello. I look forward to shaking your hand, and thank you so much.
All right, John, we've actually stuck a bank robbery to talk about, too. This episode going really long. But
sorry,
you know what?
You're trapped here now. You live here.
It's the Red Dead News blowout. We promised him that.
Yep. I did promise I would come back, and back I will come, but I will not return a third time.
Yeah,
well, maybe
totally
I'll probably
back.
Come
yeah,
back.
You're yeah, definitely.
I'll probably come back.
Yeah. All right, but from Dillinger Blackheart, how was the gore with animals and NPCs? Was it very gritty and bloody? Are there any execution-style close-range kills?
So if I know the ones you're talking about in Red Dead 1, where like if you run up to a dude with a pistol, you like jam it under his head and the camera angle will change and you'll blow it out the back of his skull. We didn't, to my recollection, see anything particularly that that visceral up close with anybody. But it is, I think I talked about this a little bit in the last one, where the gore is realistic to a point of, at least with animals,
yeah,
almost not discomfort, but like pretty goddamn close to realistic.
Well, you remember the screaming deer you mentioned.
Well, so yeah, so that's the thing is like, it's like, I can still kind of see it just like skittering on the fucking ground. But the other one, the like actual quote gore, one that is recalled for me is when you've picked up a rabbit to skin it, you know, instead of it having that cut scene where, you know, in the first one, John leans down, the camera angle changes to look up at him. He's like, oh, this is disgusting. And you get a couple of blood spatters up on the camera. That doesn't happen in this one.
Okay.
Instead, we, you know, shot a couple of varmint rabbits. Arthur walks over, takes one, puts it on his horse, takes the second one, picks it up by the leg, slits it down the belly, and then just proceeds to grab it and tear all the skin off in one fell go.
Kind of like kind of like Willow does to that one dude in Buffy season 6.
I haven't watched Buffy, but yeah, I'll assume that that's...
That happens to a man.
Think about, in that show. Did you see the Silent Hill movie?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah, you know what happens to that lady at the end?
I forgot, no.
Pyramid Head has a big ass hand, puts it in here and just kind of like...
Rips the skin off?
Pulls all of her skin off.
Oh.
It was that.
Okay.
But on a little bunny rabbit.
That?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, it is
that's
up
gore.
There. In terms of NPCs and people, there are... I think the closest Rockstar thing I can relate it to is probably Max Payne 3, I think.
Okay. But not like Manhunt 2 type stuff that you saw or anything like that.
Well, when I say Max Payne 3, I don't like it was those sort of stylized death cams. I don't know specifically what triggered them, if it was like a headshot or if it's like the last round in your chamber or if it's the last guy in a specific set of enemies. But there were two or three guys who, as we were like, so we robbed a bank.
Yeah.
Real super quick. We can get more into the details of it later. We went in, robbed the place, got the money, and then ended up getting into a shootout with the law because we done fucked up. Or we didn't. Realistically, we did, though. Anyways, we get into a shootout with the cops on the way out. And so there would be moments where like, you know, Arthur like kind of pops out of cover, shoots a guy, and then it does the slow-mo, like follows the bullet, watches it hit the guy. He falls down, ragdolls away. And then it cuts back to you and you're back into the action.
So that was how they handled it. Okay.
Yeah. I didn't realize
that was part of the game.
Yeah. And it was cool. Like the color scheme changed, like it went like black and white and there was some stylized.
Well, let me follow up with that then. Cause I Am Him asks, did you see Arthur get shot? And if he did anything happen to him? Like, did he limp or
I
hold
don't
his wounds?
Recall seeing Arthur get shot.
Okay.
I think he made it out of this one unscathed. Like the most that might've happened is he took a graze. Mm-hmm. But I honestly don't remember. I don't believe he got hit at all.
How are the
we did see his hat get shot.
Oh, you saw his hat like off?
Oh yeah, yeah. Like in the first game, you can shoot off dudes' hats. Well, yeah. Now they can return the favor
and do it. So somebody shot your hat off.
Somebody shot the hat off, and then it's just gone. Like when your hat gets shot off, you either have to take the time to go back and pick it up, or you lose your hat.
You're just hatless.
Like you're hatless. You can either buy another hat or return to that spot of the gunfight within a certain amount of time to recollect it. But like, if you get your hat shot off, it's just gone. You don't have a hat anymore.
Indiana Jones would really have a hard time.
Be a hard time. But then also he'd have a whole hat full of holes.
That's true.
Hat full of holes.
A holy hat.
That sounds like a
like
theater
a pope hat. A holy hat.
No. Yeah. I mean, if that's an unlockable hat, I'll wear it all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I love silly outfits in video. You love silly outfits in video games?
Oh yeah. I've played Saints Row.
Yeah.
I literally make monsters. It's the best.
Yeah, I played most of Final Fantasy 13 Lightning Returns with her with just a big mustache.
Good.
It was delightful.
I don't know what the customization options really will end up being for Red Dead 2.
Uh-huh.
If you do watch our guide's content, I sincerely apologize because I'm sure it will be just the bushiest mountain, because we know their beards.
Yeah.
I'm sure I will be a hideous mountain man.
Oh yeah, that's
wearing
that's your MO.
As close to just filthy pajamas as I possibly can.
That's kind of you in real life.
Hey, can I put a shirt on for this?
For this.
Two, in fact.
Look at that.
I don't have pants on though.
How are the Michael Griffith asks, how are the graphics compared to the current gen versions of GTA 5? Better or about the same? Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Expound. Oof, it's just really goddamn pretty.
Is it like, the environment that stands out most? Or
it's everything.
It's everything.
You know, I touched on this a little bit last time, I think.
Yeah.
So on a well, no. I'll answer the man's question. God damn it. You know, on an individual character model level, the detail paid to just individual items on your person, like instead of it being one big piece that is your outfit, you know, your gun belt is independently rendered of your pants. Your pants are independently rendered of your boots. Your suspenders are independently rendered of your shirts. So if that gives you any kind of idea of like the scope of detail on character models, mm-hmm. The world itself is just gorgeous. Like you look at that first trailer, that first reveal trailer that had all of those locations, that's all in game.
Yeah.
That's,
I was riding around the other night in GTA 1. Or not GTA 1.
GTA 5.
Pardon me. Not GTA 5 either. Red Dead 1. Red Dead Redemption. There you go. I'm wandering around in Red Dead Redemption the other night, and even in that nearly 10-year-old game,
yep.
I'm riding along, and it is one of those crystal clear nights where they've just painted a bed of stars over you. And I'm like, yeah. Even now, this is pretty.
Yeah. Well, and that's
like, and I can't even imagine what it's like.
Well, so like that shot in the reveal trailer and in the third trailer too, like when the gang is around the campfire and it pans back and it's a big wide shot and you see like the smoke going up into the air and the shadow of the trees in front of this huge skyscape. It's gorgeous. Like that's in-game stuff right there.
One of the best nights of my life was laying on top of Table Rock, North Carolina, miles from civilization in any direction in the middle of Pisgah National Forest.
Oh man.
At like 3 a.m.
Oh,
and it's this bald topped mountain. So I'm just laying on my back and it is cold winter evening. And the sky's crystal clear, and it's just there's no light for miles in any direction. Yep. And I didn't know the sky could be that clear. I just didn't realize you could see that far to the end of the universe. It's
kind of crazy, isn't it?
It is. I'm glad they captured that.
Yeah.
Hey, one fellow here. Who is this? ATM9 wants you to know that he likes Red Dead Radio, especially with John.
Oh my God! No way! Thank you. Yeah, that's really sweet, ATM9.
So I think we're going to
get... Wait, not AJM9, not Alex John Murphy.
No, this is Marcat9 or ATM9.
All right, well, thanks very much, ATM9.
Thanks for there. You want to talk about this bank robbery you saw?
Well, I feel like, you know, if we're doing a proper news blowout, I still haven't finished talking about everything I've seen.
Well, let's hear about the bank
robbery. Oh, good Lord. All right. So I talked a little bit when we were talking about characters a few weeks ago. How Bill Williamson is sort of a loud, dumbass motherfucker.
Yeah, people like that comparison.
I mean, he's not the smartest man on earth. But he did manage to convince Arthur, and really Lenny was the one who did it by sticking up for Bill. This is why I liked Lenny, that they had a job that they had planned. Well, planned. And it was a quick take for easy money. So... You know, Arthur kind of begrudgingly is like, all right, fucking fine. Let's go not get arrested, hopefully. And so we ride back towards town. We'd passed by the outskirts of town earlier as we were riding through in the first part of our demo. But so we ride back in and we hit town. You know, we ride in like nobody really pays much mind to us.
Okay.
Saddler Horses sort of, so the town is sort of, it's this town called Valentine. You've seen it in the second and third and first trailers.
Okay.
It is that ramshackle old west town.
Yeah.
And so we sort of pull up to the side of the main road and head around. And the cool thing was like the whole time there's like the music is always such a big factor in Rockstar games, but especially in what they did with it in Red Dead and what they're apparently doing with it as well in Red Dead 2. Because like the second our boots hit the sidewalk, it's like up until that point, it had just kind of been like fairly general background music,
okay.
Like whistles and Western style background music. But as soon as our boots hit the sidewalk, that plankboard like clunk clunk clunk, there was this big old steel guitar like twang, and it's like it wasn't particularly beautiful, but it was just like. It's that one note that lets you know shit is about to go down.
The boys are back in town.
Yeah. It's just like, here we are, robbing a fucking bank.
Okay.
And so the crew for the heist was Arthur, Bill, Lenny, and then Karen.
Okay.
Karen was going to be our initial distraction.
Okay.
So one of the cool things that they introduce in this, alongside all of the other sort of individual immersion and exploration, is the ability to sort of choose your path throughout missions and throughout the game.
Okay.
So, you know,
kind of like heist, different ways to go at it.
Sort of, yeah. Okay. You know, there were a couple of different choices that we were faced with throughout the course of the heist. So Karen, who's going to be our initial distraction, she basically can offer us two performances.
Okay.
She can either be like a drunken harlot, or she can be sort of like a lost waifish girl, like wandering in.
It's all right.
Wandering in from the wilderness, basically like, help, help, I'm lost, please help me.
So she played up the part?
Yeah, so she goes in a few seconds before us, and like you can see there's this really great little moment between Bill and Arthur, like when she goes inside, and like she starts, you know, you see her like take a second before she goes in to be like, okay, well, you go, and like walks in and starts causing a ruckus. And there's this really great moment with Bill and Arthur beforehand where you see Bill like start to go in the door, and Arthur like kind of grabs him, like, no, 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 let her do her thing, let her do it right, give her time. But then, of course, immediately you're just like, all right, so let's go inside.
Yeah.
And once you get in, like, her distraction works. Like, everyone's pretty much caught off guard. Again, this was all done HUDless. Yeah. So I don't know what this properly looks like when you're actively playing it, except for the fact that the camera never left behind us.
Interesting.
Well, okay, so you remember in the second trailer, I think.
Okay.
There's that sequence of a bank heist where Arthur, like, grabs a dude, like, slams him through a door, mm-hmm. and then... That's what we saw. That was this action.
Okay.
So much like the contextual interactions you have with NPCs in dialogue, it seems like you'll have those sort of contextual interactions in terms of physicality as well. So because there's a moment where, you know, Arthur kind of picks the guy up and shoves him through a door. He probably could have just pointed his gun at him and said, go that way instead, mm-hmm. but he didn't. Similarly, you know, he gets through the door to the back room where the main door into the, like, the lockbox security room is. Meanwhile, you know, Bill and Lenny and Karen are out front. Like, everybody don't move. And
right.
Thankfully, we didn't have any heroes.
Could there have been heroes? Did they say anything about that?
We didn't. No, we didn't know about that. I wouldn't be surprised if there could be.
Yeah.
Hopefully, that won't be the case. Because you know what a hero is, right?
Well, I did watch Serenity.
That's right. A hero is somebody who gets other people killed.
That's correct. That's why you have to bring River Tam along in your robbery when you're stealing the payroll.
Yeah, that's fair.
Hope the Reavers don't show up. That's another Western, folks. We'll get there.
We already got there. Anyways, so again, that same kind of contextual interaction is all up to you. You know, either you can just point the gun at him and wait for him to open the door, or you can bash him over the back of the head and say, hurry up, if he's not moving fast enough for you.
Okay.
Once he did open those doors, though, we ended up in this tiny back little room with four safes in it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And basically, you know, Bill kind of stumbles in and he's like, hey, we gotta go. Like, there's probably cops gonna show up soon. What are we gonna do? And so essentially you have two options. We could choose to, and you can see this one in a trailer too.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually a lot of the gameplay that we saw in our demo in both of the trailers, or all three of the trailers, I guess. And so you have two options, basically. Okay. One, you can take the time and try and pick all four locks,
mm-hmm.
but that's gonna take a while.
Right, which means the law may show up, which means this may degenerate into violence.
Right. Or you can stick little bits of dynamite in each one of the safe doors and blow them open, hoping that the response time to that explosion is going to be less than it would take for them to show up on their own with your just pecking.
And you're just making this as a gut call.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be a split-second decision. So we chose to blow the safes.
Using a dynamite there, Butch?
Oh, yeah. Oh, good. It's a movie I've seen recently.
Oh, yeah. I watched it last night.
Good. It's very good. I mm-hmm. liked it a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So it was neat there. Again, little details. Mm-hmm. Instead of it just being like a quick little cutscene where, you know, you see him do this and then you hear an explosion and then you like actually have to walk to each individual safe and you see him take like a little stick of dynamite and stick it in the door, go to the next one, take the wire, put it in, stick the dynamite in the door, mm-hmm. go to the next one.
Until Were you tense?
Was I?
Yeah.
Oh, my butthole was puckered.
Yeah. Okay.
Gross. Sorry. I'm sorry, everybody. Really, this is why I can't go nice places. Anyways, so, you know, the trigger gets hit. And again, instead of it just being like one big explosion, like you kind of get down behind a desk and it's right along. It's like, dush, 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 dush. They all pop open. They swing open. We can grab the money outside. But the response time was a little faster than we had hoped.
Had anticipated. Okay.
Yeah.
So this ended bloody.
Oh, it was not good.
Okay.
So the cops show up.
Yeah.
Because as we're like stuffing money into a bag,
as tends to happen when you blow dynamite up.
Yeah.
In a bank.
Bill rushes in. He's like, hey, fucking law's outside. We got to go. We got to figure out what's happening outside. And so we go outside. And again, because we don't have a HUD, we don't really know exactly how many of these decisions are contextual or how many are scripted. Right. But we get out to back to the front room. And the sheriff is out there hollering inside. It's the sheriff and like a whole posse of guys.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, if you don't hurt nobody, if you let the hostages go and come out, we'll let you live.
Ha.
And so, you know, Bill and Lenny and Karen and Arthur, like, they all have a little conversation, like, what the fuck are we going to do? What the fuck are we going to do? And Karen's just like, I got an idea. Hang on 2 seconds. And she starts to go outside. And everyone's like, what the fuck? Stop it. No. And she's like, no. And she just does it. She just goes.
Okay.
And she kind of kicks open the doors and plays the sort of lost little girl again, where she just turns into a hostage for a hot second. And she gets real, real close. And she's like, oh, my God, help me out. And she's like, sorry. And just, like, I don't know if she had a Derringer up her sleeve or if she had a gunner.
Okay.
But like she catches the sheriff right under the shoulder. And so he goes down. She runs back inside, grabs cover, and then it's a proper firefight. And so this is where we saw a lot of the gunplay in action, which looks, again, much like the first Red Dead, super satisfying.
Sidebar, spring sleeve Derringers, always awesome.
Oh, always. Yeah, again, can't super confirm that that's exactly what this was.
Yeah.
She may have just had a pistol under her arm. I'm not really sure. She was outside. We were inside. Those windows were kind of dirty.
Jeff Goldblum in Silverado, Lee Van Cleef, and a few dollars more.
What was his name in Silverado? Slick?
Slick, yeah.
That's Slick.
Anyway, please continue.
She kills the fucking sheriff, so now we know we're fucked.
But the gunplay looked rewarding. It felt.
Oh, yeah. Well, so the cool thing is, like, again, much like with the outfits, like with the suspenders and your shirts and your coats and your hats and all that shit, you could, like, as you work the pistol, you can see the chamber turning. You can see the hammer cocking. It's not the same thing as in Red Dead, where it's just like you see the hand do this and then your gun's reloaded. You know, you spend 6 individual bullets.
Yeah.
And then you got to spin the thing out, kick them back in, slide it back, and reload it.
Mm-hmm. Can you carry a second piece? And
so the way that your carrying capacity works is you can carry your sidearm and then your long arm.
Okay.
And then anything.
So no Josie Wales in for multiple pistols or anything like
that? I think
you
can have up to 2 pistols. I'm not positive.
Oh, okay. Wondered.
I don't know that for sure. But the way that it works is, again, back to your horse is sort of your secondary inventory.
Okay.
So you can basically have 1, maybe 2 long arms, 1, maybe 2 side arms, and then a little bit of gear on your person, and then the rest of your stuff is stashed on your horse.
Neat.
Yeah, it's. I think it's a smart way to do
it. It's a good system. Yeah, I agree.
So again, this is where we saw that sort of stylized death cam in action. You know, follow the bullet, it hits a dude, he like goes, and then it cuts back to Arthur.
Did you cut your way out?
Oh, we shot our way out. Yeah, for sure. We managed to get our way down the street. There was a couple of dudes like up on rooftops. We shot the hell out of them. They tumbled off. It was a good time, except for theirs. They did not have a good time.
Did you get away with the money?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, so it turned into a proper horse chase, too. There was, so
of course
we get back to our horses. We all pile on. We're still like shooting over our shoulders and trying to get away. Right off out towards the outskirts of town, back way toward from the town towards camp. And it gets to the point where Bill's just like, it's that thing in Red Dead where they're like a posse just keeps coming. Like there didn't seem to be a definite end to them. Like once we killed like 15 of them in town, there were just more.
I'm gonna stop you right here.
Okay.
Because we got to take a quick break.
All right.
But we're gonna come right back with the conclusion of this and the rest of the show. Stick around.
Neat. Yeah. So, anyways, we make it to our horses, we ride off. And there's that thing in Red Dead 1 that seems to be carried over here where it's like, even if you manage to get away from the initial like 6 or 7 cops that show up, like they're still going to keep coming.
Right.
And it's nice that they actually kind of acknowledge that. It's like as we're riding along and like a couple of groups of guys come over the hills, like Bill's like riding along next to me. He's like, where the fuck do they keep coming from? How the fuck are there so many of these assholes?
That's great. Again, very Butch Cassidy. Who are these guys?
Exactly. Who the fuck are they? Where are they coming from? And I mean, they killed them. Of law officers. It was a bad day.
Did the whole gang made it out though?
Oh yeah, all 4 of us made it.
How'd you finally evade them? How's that work? How's evasion?
It was more so like the star-studded end of the demo for us, as opposed to like properly like running out the meter. I would assume it's
because you didn't see a HUD, so you don't know if there was a meter.
Exactly.
Right? Okay. I've been wondering about.
I would assume that it's a similar situation. Maybe not necessarily like 5 stars or whatever.
Well, right, because they've done different things in games. I mean, I've wondered if they're going to change the system for evasion and hiding, because at least one occasion that I can think of in GTA Chinatown Wars,
I think it's the one game that I haven't played.
Okay, so that is sentimentally my favorite GTA.
Okay.
What system
was that again? PSP?
DS is where I played it, but it was also on PSP. Chinatown Wars did this really cool thing of like, we have a small screen and we're doing a top-down view. So how do we make escaping work in this environment where everything's kind of compressed?
Right.
And the solution they came up with was it has nothing at all to do with hiding. At all.
Okay.
It was about wrecking cop cars.
They just have to say, we've lost enough dudes.
The more you would be pursued, and if you could wreck enough of your pursuers at once, and they give you these really rewarding mechanics and ways to do it.
Cool.
You're like, oh, you've destroyed everybody who was nearby. Now just stay quiet for a minute, and they're gone. So it's not beyond them to go back and re-examine the way they handle evasion.
That sounds like it would be a pretty satisfying way of dealing with it, because like literally, what happens if I just murder an entire town? Mm-hmm. Like, who's going to get me?
Because these people all have histories. They're all...
Right. They all have their own shit to do.
Yeah.
Like, so. What if I just straight up walked into Armadillo and wasted everybody?
Which I'm sure is going to be one of the day one questions that...
Oh, I'm sure. I'm definitely going to find out.
Yeah.
Which is a little sociopathic of me, but at the same time, I'm curious and I have to write the guide.
Yeah.
So, anyways...
Can you empty the world?
Can you? I'm curious. I am curious about that, though, because, like, there are monsters out there who will play like that, who will walk into a town and just gun down everyone to
and
see
what
happens.
Then, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if they slowly, like, repopulated. I don't know if maybe settlers
move in.
Yeah, exactly. Where it's like if I walk over to somebody's house and I, you know, murder everybody, like, will just somebody new move into the house?
But then it's like the GTA thing where the ambulance shows up. If you shoot the paramedics, then more ambulances come.
Exactly.
And then
just
bail fire more fire
trucks.
It's just
like 18 doctors with the same black bag.
Standing there.
So we didn't have to, like, lose the cops in the traditional Rockstar game sense. What happened for us was after we shot a fuckload of them, while riding away through the plains, we got to a point where there was a train coming along the tracks. And it was a super narrow miss, but like we got over the tracks. It was a really fun moment where it was like, there were like probably four or five dudes left behind us.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bill makes it over with plenty of time. Karen and Lenny make it over with a fair amount of time. And then Arthur like just barely like gets across as the train slams shut.
Kind of like the North Yankton segment where it clips the...
Only instead of getting clipped, you actually make it. You know, the camera spun around and like, you know, kind of like cut to black really dramatically. And that was the end of our demo.
Okay.
But definitely, you know, I'm someone who has a lot of fun in the original Red Dead just riding around with a posse after me.
Yeah.
Because it is fun as hell to like... hit to clip a dude but see him fly out of the saddle and get drug along by his horse.
I kind of like the idea that an evasion tactic would be just to have random herds or trains around and you could always cut
that'd be great.
One to get away.
Or if I could just run into a field full of cows and just like duck down behind one. If I can use cows as cover.
As cover, or to cut them off even if they can see you but they're on the other side.
Or if I start ranching them into the way of all the cops and stuff.
That sounds amazing. Silverado where they charge the ranch with the cattle herd.
Yep.
You know, you could pull that off. That'd be kind of amazing.
Hell yeah.
All right. We have move on.
I think that's it. I think we've covered almost everything that I've seen.
Oh my gosh. This new
I'm sure I can think of other
Thank
details
Thank you for
later.
Your patience. I hope you're enjoying that. We wanted to get as much out there. I do believe that right now, this may be the single most, combined with our first episode with you, most concentrated detailed dissemination info about GTA.
We've done a bunch on IGN about it, and I know everyone else has done their own deep dives as well, but I feel like...
we covered a lot.
I think this is a solid like 3 hours at this point of conversation.
But we're not done yet.
We're not done yet.
We're going to go through the rest of the segments here pretty quick. So on the trail, I owe you guys something here because I've been playing. You've been playing along. You have not been. But you need to get caught up so you can have you back on here.
I'm at the end of the game, though. You need to catch up to me.
Okay, yes, but they're not at the end of the game.
Well, they need to catch up to me, too.
If they're playing along, they're up to hanging Bonnie McFarlane.
Oh, Bonnie.
Yeah, poor Bonnie. Remember when Bonnie got hung?
I do. It was really fucked up.
Yeah, it was. I had forgotten how disturbing that mission is.
Yeah, that's a tough mission.
I mean, by the time you rescue Bonnie, she's cut up. She's hanging to die. You have to cut her down before she chokes to death. I got to her before she choked.
Good.
Bonnie, I remember the first time I played through Red Dead, I didn't like Bonnie nearly as much as I like her now replaying it. I like.
Why do you think that is?
Because the first game I could not get past Mr. Marston.
God.
And the voice acting is great. It's just something about that.
No, man, I got you.
But this time it's not. As a matter of fact, this time I really like Bonnie. I'm like, I want a Bonnie game. I was like, she's fascinating.
I'd play that.
She's really cool.
I mean, you can in Red Dead Online, which we should play together.
Yeah, maybe I'll be Bonnie.
You should. You should be Bonnie. You can be Bonnie and Bonnie and Ugly Chris. That's Bonnie a movie that I would Chris watch.
Absolutely. Not quite a Hardcastle McCormick, but
No.
But yeah, I really like Bonnie. And here, there she is. And I mean, it's brutal. And they're trying to get back at her father. And they're going for somebody's wonder. But another thing it touched on that I had never caught when I played this before. I'm beginning to wonder if, and I do not believe there's any hidden political agenda here.
Okay.
I'm not at all, do not take this seriously.
I mean, it was almost a decade ago.
But there are some, this is, I think, among the most unintentionally libertarian narratives I've ever played. Everybody in Red Dead.
You mean overall?
Yes. When you listen to the conversations happening between John, the Marshal, Bonnie, yep. the characters, again and again and again, it's the theme of a world that's becoming regulated. A world where people out east are telling us what to do, and we don't like it. A world where people that went away from society to be free are losing that freedom of self-determination. And the forces that are taking that away are heavy-handed, violent, governmental.
I mean, that's the entire point of Red Dead 2 as well.
Exactly.
You know, I feel like in the first one, for example, you know, you don't necessarily make an incorrect point. I feel like the notion of it, you know, government interference, especially for like the Marshal, for example, you know, he's clearly just super run down. He's a beleaguered man. Government interference for his job is just extra bullshit because he's got enough to do on his
own. Yeah, he's just trying to keep people from getting killed in his town.
But at the same time, you know, while, you know, John may be an intrusion into her life, ultimately, he's a helpful force for Bonnie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, I feel like the argument could be made for both.
I definitely, and that was just this kind of odd little bit. I knew it was in there because most Westerns have that theme.
Yeah.
They really do. This idea of independence, self-reliance, self-determination. And there's a lot to be said for those attributes.
I mean, again, that's why I called it a pirate story the last time.
Exactly. Like, it's
what you're looking for. That is the notion of the West.
And I think that because it's set in that late period where that's being taken away,
yeah.
you get this, and I think very fair dichotomy, where you have people saying, just leave me alone and let me live my life. Please, encroaching government that doesn't understand. Again, it's very, very Firefly, very Serenity. The Alliance out east telling us independence what to do.
Yeah.
But then there's the other end of it where the world they live in is the kind of place where disputes are resolved by kidnapping someone's child and hanging them up.
Yeah.
After assaulting them. And
I mean, and that's the thing where it's like, you know, you, not to get super political, but like you look at the argument that a lot of people try and make for libertarianism today, mm-hmm. and it's like, yeah, but this literally is like the only way that those values really truly work for you is the Old West.
Well, I think there's a lot of virtue to that. This is not going to be a political like philosophy discussion.
We did that last time.
There's a lot that's admirable about libertarian ideology. There really is.
Sure.
But there are some pragmatic concerns, and libertarians themselves recognize a lot of that pragmatism.
Most do.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Good point. But yeah, there's this idea that maybe the tension between the human desire to have a body politic, a civic responsibility and identity.
Yeah.
And that fiercely American idiom of independence, good or bad.
Yeah.
That's kind of at the heart of the game, and I had forgotten how much a part of it. And that's a huge part of the missions that lead up to Bonnie McFarlane. All the dialogue in that part is about again and again.
Yeah.
It's just, but it's not heavy handed. It's just what they're all, that's what's on their mind.
And that's the thing that was like, that's kind of the nice thing about it is that that's just, it's not necessarily, like you said, you were like not trying to get political because it's not. That's not what the politics of it was then. That is just life for those people.
John's life's being screwed up by this.
Right.
Bonnie and her family's life being interfered with. Like the
exactly.
Life's
it's not a libertarian statement piece.
No, it's about the realities that lead us to politics. And I think people forget that politics is the end result of what's happening within our lives and identities.
Yeah.
But that was an interesting thing I stumbled onto in it. And then another bit during this playthrough, I'd forgotten about the really clever innovation in this game of checkpoint conversations resetting the different conversations. I'd forgotten that very simple innovation.
How they would sort of contextually be a little bit different depending on whether or not you're restarting it, you mean?
I failed a mission, a fairly simple mission, simply by falling behind my party because I started exploring something. And I'm at a nice, convenient checkpoint, right? But there's a ride up to it. Conversation completely different.
Oh, you're talking about the one riding up the hill towards Fort Mercer? Because that was the one that I first noticed it on.
No, this one was where we have killed by a cougar that there's time. All the different burned out little camps.
And you're chasing down Bill's gang, trying to get in Deke. Yeah.
On that mission, I failed getting left behind. Come back, different conversation, same characters. I know that that's... I forgot.
But I mean, and that's the thing is like, you know, you look at that and like you see that a little bit, I think, in GTA.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
In GTA 5.
They borrowed it from Red Dead 1.
Right. But that's the thing is like you look at where that sort of started there and that's the new interaction system that we're looking at with these NPCs is sort of the ultimate continuation of that idea.
I like it a lot. And there's a poetry to the cadence of their speech. And I agree that the ideas fit. I mean, again, that's a here we go. It's all free. It's that design philosophy. One rock, two rocks, off we go.
Yep. Everything works together to make the most accurate world that they could.
So we want to hear your playthrough stories. Please send them to the mail at Red Dead Radio or again, tweet them at Petty, Jarrett.
Or join us online, which would be sometime, I don't know when, but someday. Eventually.
Eventually we'll be online.
When you get your ass into that lobby with me,
okay,
we'll figure it out.
I got to play the single player first.
Or you could just get online.
I could just get online right now, couldn't I? Friends, if you're playing along, the next checkpoint mission for us, I didn't go too far ahead because...
Are you guys doing book club style?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
We're using the IGN Wiki.
Damn straight you are.
Which has a chronological walkthrough of all the main story. So we're going to Exhuming and other fine quality. So if you want to catch
up... Hell yeah, is that the first one with Z?
That's not the first one. But
it's one of the main ones.
Yeah, it's one of the... Yep.
Cool. Neat.
Exhuming and other fine qualities is where we're going next. So play along to that one if you're going to play and let us know what's going on. All right, very quickly, luck of the draw. Four questions, four suits.
I don't know if we can say very quickly after what happened last time.
Well, we got to because we're literally running out of battery power.
Okay,
so,
great.
Well, here we go.
Just give me the
John, you want to cut or draw?
I'll cut.
All right.
Whoop, I fucked it up already.
All right.
Also, is Greg still your poker champion?
Greg Miller still the poker champion.
Do I get to come back?
No, you don't get to come back.
I just get one shot forever?
You don't get to play anymore.
Oh, that's bullshit.
One shot for everyone. Maybe if you're really, really good. Boy, that was pedantic. I'm never going to say it. What? I
think just flip the fucking card.
There we go. Diamonds.
Seven of diamonds.
All right. This question from Ross Hill. Tell me about a pivotal moment in your life, a choice you made or didn't make that is important to who you are.
What now. This is not really quick questions. Russ, is it?
Ross.
Ross?
Well, Ross didn't know we were going to be pressed for time.
But we're not pressed for time. Just, man.
Battery-wise, we are actually pressed for time.
Oh, Lord. A pivotal decision in my life that I did or did not make.
Yeah, something that moved, really made a difference for you.
I moved to the West Coast.
Wow, really?
Yeah,
West young man?
I did go west. Well, so I'm originally from Massachusetts. My early years were spent on Martha's Vineyard off Cape Cod. I went to college for theater and studies and performance art, which... was one of those things. I mean, that could in and of itself be a big question the decision that I should or should not have made. I'll leave that up to future me at my meeting with Peter at the Pearly Gates. But I was living in Boston working as an actor. I kind of up and didn't really know what was going on with me in that part of the world at that time. I could see a couple of different trajectories. I know a few people, a few friends of mine who had moved out west. And I kind of up and said, you know what? I've seen a lot of what Boston has to offer, but I'm going to make that choice. And I'm gonna head out west and saddle up and head on that trail. And while it didn't pan out from an acting standpoint. I mean, you know, it's not to say that it's not still a fun hobby that I have, but it led me here. You know, I would not be sitting at this table with you having this conversation about Red Dead in this context if I had not said, you know what, fuck it, I'm going to try and see if I can get on a pilot for a TV show.
Wow. Are you glad at how it turned out? Because this is a long way from a pilot on a TV show.
So yeah,
this is a very different life.
I think about all the time, like, you know, what those branching paths would look like.
Yeah, you
know,
you were in LA, and then you came up to SF.
And then I bounced up to SF.
You found Olmec from Legends of the Hidden Temple in a crate.
No, he was in the back of a warehouse, and technically that was a friend of mine, not myself.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be married. I wouldn't have anywhere near as good a life as I think I have if I'd stayed. I mean, that's not to say that I wouldn't be, you know, probably happy in my own way in that alternate reality. But yeah, it was a take the risk, I think, is the ultimate come away from that. What about you?
I'm going to be pretty succinct with mine. I'm going to thinking about a very specific moment a long time ago where I came within a hair of deliberately taking my own life.
Jesus.
Everything seemed terrible. A lot of truly bad things had happened to me. I was dealing with extensive mental illness that was not being treated as well as I wish it had been in retrospect. I had real problems I didn't know how to solve. I was deeply angry and sad and lonely, and I really thought I wanted to die. And I came very close to doing something about that. And I did not make the attempt. I just got as close as you can to making the attempt without making it. And then I decided, no, I'm not going to do that. And it's hard because I didn't have great clarity of thought in that moment to
Rarely doesn't in that state.
Mm-hmm. But my observation was, no, I hurt so badly right now, badly enough that I wish I couldn't hurt anymore, but I don't actually think I want to die and give up the rest of life yet. And I'm glad I didn't, because despite a lot of hardship and a lot of crap and a lot of pain, a lot of good things have happened to me since then. Beautiful and wonderful moments and that have made me feel joyful and happy. And I'm glad that I'm still around.
Me too.
And I'm glad I was able to enjoy all those years after that.
Yeah.
And I think that happens to a lot of people in their lives.
Yeah. I mean, it's you know, not something I'm super open up about. But I mean, I've found myself in a similar place here and there. I mean, I don't feel like it's as far to, I'm not trying to jump into your stuff. But like, I know what that feeling and what that place feels like. And it is something that I feel like a lot of people in this day and age, and, you know, obviously previously too, have had to deal with, and who have maybe not, some of them may not have actually had that sort of impetus to step back from that ledge.
No, I think a lot of people find themselves in that situation, and I completely understand. I mean, I don't understand their situation, but I empathize with how people reach that point, certainly. Yeah. And I don't look at that from a position of judgment. But yeah, I'm glad I'm here.
Me too. I love you, buddy.
Love you too. So there's really mine off the top of my head. And I don't think we have to go into any detail about that. So, friends, that's ours. And guess what? That's our show. No poker hand this time.
Next time.
Maybe next time. But
I feel like if I make it to a third guest appearance here, I have to get a chance. Redeem myself.
Thank you for putting up with this extra long episode. And thank you so much for watching and listening. Please, everybody always asks, leave that review, subscribe, iTunes.
Hit all them buttons.
All that stuff. It is the difference between the show making it and breaking it. Like, it really does determine our future. So please help with that. Thank you so much for watching, listening here. John Ryan, where can folks find your excellent work on Red Dead Redemption and other things?
You can find me on IGN.com, their YouTube, my own personal Twitter for stupid, idiotic memes and nonsense, at USofJR. And I'm sorry for anything and everything you see on there.
Thanks a lot, friends. See you next time.
Cisco Man, thank you so much.